Our scripture reading before the lesson today will be from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. That's Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is coming among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away.
Thank you, Ben, for that reading. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Thank you, Milt, for those songs. I appreciate it. I appreciate the way you led them as well. Milt brings a special way about him when we sing, and we appreciate that also. You may not realize this, but there's a day toward the end of April that's a very important day. In fact, it's maybe one of the most important days of the year in the life of a football fan. It's the NFL draft. You may be thinking to yourself, that's no big deal, but to a football fanatic, it is a big deal. In fact, I have a son who has two sons who make this a holiday. And they invite friends over, and my sweet daughter-in-law cooks a big meal, and everyone is looking forward to a new year. I have another friend that's also a football fanatic, but even in a more desperate way. He's a Green Bay Packer fan. And cheeseheads, for some reason, have this special way about them where they live and breathe and die on the results of the football team and how they do from game to game. In fact, he's such a fanatic and gets so worked up about the games that he never watches them live. He can't. Number one, his wife won't let him because he goes nuts. But number two, he's just so anxious about every single play that takes place on both offense and defense that it drives him literally up the wall. So he records every game. And then, well after the game, he goes online to see what the score was. If he knows by the score that his team has won, then he'll sit down and he'll watch the game. However, if he finds out that the Green Bay Packers have lost, he will simply go to the DVR and hit the delete button. Because he doesn't want to see a game where his team loses. And you know, we can kind of draw parallels with this to the Christian life as well, because there are times in our lives when we look at what's going on around us, when we get anxious, when we get concerned, when we get down and discouraged, and we wonder what in the world is going on. And we see the refs of this world making horrible calls, and we wonder, is this ever going to end? How is it going to end? Are we going to win? But God recognizes our dilemma. And so in this guide to life that he has given us, he has already told us what the final score is going to be. And as we study this morning in our Revelations classes, we're going through this wonderful book, we know that our team, God's children, are going to win. That we are going to prevail no matter what society says, no matter what laws and points of view are inflicted on us. So we can look at our life and we see hope. We see hope as God helps us understand what this life that he's blessed us with is all about, and what the final score is going to be, and the victory that God's people are going to have because of the gift of the Son that he's given to each and every one of us. So I want us to take just a few minutes to look into the book of Revelations. We're going to be reviewing a few verses in chapters 21 and 22. And let's take a look at the Christian victory. What is the Christian victory, and how does that encourage us? How does that empower us in our daily life and our daily walk in this thing called earth? Well, the first thing that we see is that we have a reward of victory, that God gives us a reward. And it's found not just in the book of Revelations, it's found throughout the Bible as we see God's people doing those rare occasions in the Old Testament where we see them doing God's will, we see him rewarding them for it. And every time they drifted away from what God wanted them to do, they paid the consequences, but he was always pulling them back toward him. Always pulling them back. No matter how bad they seemed to get, he was always bringing them back to him. And he gives us the reward for victory that is promised in the book of Revelations, and he says that we're going to receive the victor's crown, which is the crown of life. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you a victor's crown. God gives us a victor's crown. And don't forget, this particular passage was written to a group of Christians in Smyrna. And they knew something about the Olympics in Smyrna because it transpired or took place there. And the winners of the various events would receive a wreath as a crown. But it was a wreath that was made out of twigs and sticks and leaves. And that's what they wore. But eventually, what happened to that crown? It perished. It wore out. We know that when we pick flowers and put them in a vase, eventually they're going to die and wear out. And that's exactly what happened with this victor's crown. But God has promised his faithful children a crown of life, a victor's crown that will never fade, will never wear out. It is eternal, like the life that he has promised us. So God says, as Christians, you're running a race. It's an Olympic event of sorts. But it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. We need to make sure that we pace ourselves by being involved in, by ingesting into our life God's word to help us as we run that race, so that we also will receive the victor's crown. But it's not just the victor's crown that he's promised us, but we also get the victor's clothing. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. We think of white as meaning purity, but white is also used to describe victory. And we will have a victor's clothing. We will have that white robe, that white garment that God has promised. Last week, they held the Masters Golf Tournament, which to me is the greatest golf tournament of the year. And the winner of the golf tournament gets a green jacket. And it's a big deal because he gets to keep that jacket and he gets to wear that jacket all year. But once that year is up, he no longer can wear that jacket. He has to compete once again. And in order to put the jacket back on, he's got to win the second time. And that doesn't happen very often. But God's going to give us this white garment, this robe that lasts forever. It's not something that we have to go through and recompete to win. Once we have left this life, once we have been victorious, part of the reward of the victory we get is the victor's clothing. It's that white garment that we never have to take off. But it's not just the crown. It's not just the victor's clothing that we're going to get. But God also promises us that we'll receive the victor's city. And that's the holy city of God. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." What a beautiful passage that is. What a beautiful promise that is. When we get a chance, read the rest of that chapter to see what else God has to say about this reward of victory. So we see the reward of victory consists of a victor's crown, the crown of life, victor's clothing, which are white garments and a robe, and the victor's city, which is the holy city of God, which is heaven. But it's not just the reward of victory that we're going to be experiencing in this place that God has prepared for us. But we also will receive the rejoicing of victory. We're going to be rejoicing for a lot of reasons, but we're going to be rejoicing because what is there? What do you think is going to be there when we get there? What do you think is going to be in heaven waiting for us when we get there? Well, there can be a lot of things there, but they all pale in comparison to the presence of God. God will be there. He will be there waiting for us. You know, when I was younger, we grew up in Los Angeles, not very far from Dodger Stadium, and I am embarrassed to say I was a Dodger fan at the time. And one of the things I really enjoyed doing, even in high school, going to Dodger games, and sometimes I would go on dates to the Dodger games, and that was really my test, because if she didn't like the Dodgers, that was the only date that we would have. But this was during the time of the Sandy Koufax, Don Drysdale era, which my generation believes was the greatest era ever in baseball, of course. But Don Drysdale was my very favorite Dodger player. He was a warrior, a boy. He could pitch and didn't back down from anybody. And I used to think when I got into Dodger Stadium how fortunate I was to be in the very presence of my idol, Don Drysdale. But there was something greater than that. It was the feeling that somehow he was with me. Even though I could barely see him because all I could afford were the cheap seats way out in center field. But I was with him. We were in the same stadium. He couldn't see me, but I could see him. I was in his presence. But that doesn't compare at all to being in the presence of God. We will be in the very presence of the Creator of all things, of the one that we read so much about here, about his character, about his love for us, about his guidance, about the answer to the prayers that he gives us. We're going to be with him. But even more than that, we're going to see his face. Think about that. Think about seeing the face of God. I couldn't see Don Drysdale's face from where I was sitting. I knew he had a face, but I couldn't see it. We're not only going to be in the presence of God, but we're going to see the face of God. And we're going to see the light of God. And we're going to see the glory of God. And we're going to see the throne of God. And we're going to see the people of God. Think about that. Think about those that we loved and still do, that have gone on before us. I still look down here where Buzz is, and I remember where Mom and Dad sat, where they sat for so many years. They're not sitting here now. They're in a much better place, and I will see them again. We will see the people of God again. How much rejoicing do you think we're going to be doing when we see in the presence of God and see the face of God and see the light of God and the glory of God and the throne of God and we see the people of God? What a day that will be. But not just rejoicing because what is there. We're going to be rejoicing because of what is not there. You ever thought about that? We're going to be rejoicing because what isn't in heaven? There are going to be no tears. God has promised us that. There's going to be no death or despair, no sorrow or grief. There's going to be no crying. There's no reason to cry. And as I get older, one of the things I appreciate is there's going to be no pain, right? There's going to be no pain. I'm not going to have any hip pain. I'm not going to have any back pain. I'm not going to have any arthritis pain. I'm not going to have any neck pain. There won't be any pains in the neck because only God's people will be there. There's no pain. And there is no night. We will be worshiping and rejoicing with God in a day that never ends. Amen. And what a day. What a day as we sing that will be. So, we're going to be rejoicing in victory. And because of that, what is our response of this victory going to be? We're going to be celebrating and worshiping God. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come." They weren't only worshiping God, but they were worshiping the Lamb of God as well. Turn with me over to Revelation chapter 5, and let's read together verses 8 and 9. Revelation chapter 5. Verses 8 and 9. "And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls of full incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons of every tribe and language and people and nation.'" What a day of celebration that's going to be as we all worship God. When we lived up in the Bay Area, Ann and I had season tickets to the Stanford football games. And Stanford is a kind of a unique institution, very renowned. Their band is something else. I don't know if you like college football. The Stanford band, they're crazy. But in this particular game that I went to see with my mother-in-law, it was Stanford versus SC. Great rivalry. USC was in the top five that particular year in national rankings. Stanford wasn't even in the top 50. They stank, to be honest with you. They were horrible. They couldn't pass, they couldn't run, they couldn't defend, they couldn't do anything. However, in this particular game, because of some explosive plays that I think Stanford made accidentally, because they never made those kind of plays before, and some miscues on the part of SC, in the final 2 minutes of the fourth quarter, Stanford found itself winning the game by 2 points. The problem was SC got the ball back. And they were marching down the field. And I turned to my mother-in-law as the optimist that I am, and I said, here they go again. They're going to lose this one like they've lost all the other games this year. First and goal from the 8-yard line, 20 seconds left. SC hands the ball off. The running back is running toward the goal line, and he fumbles the ball. Stanford recovers, and they held on to win. And as the final gun sounded, I have never been in a stadium with such an explosion of exuberance. Everyone was so excited that Stanford finally beat this horrible SC Trojan people thing from Southern California. It was a big deal. The celebration went on, and I couldn't even talk to my mother-in-law because it was so loud. I couldn't hear what she was saying. She couldn't hear what I was saying. But what do you think that stadium was like a couple of hours after the game, 3 hours after the game, after everybody had gone home, and the cleanup crew was in brushing down all the popcorn and everything else that was all over the stadium? It was silent. There was nothing going on. It was dead. Our celebration in heaven with God will never end. We will never leave. We will never want to leave. We will never stop celebrating because we never want to stop celebrating. We will worship Him forever in celebration for what He has done for us. But we're also going to be serving Him. Not just celebrating, we're going to be serving Him. Revelation chapter 7, beginning of verse 15. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What a wonderful sense of peace that gives us, doesn't it? We're going to be there and we've got absolutely nothing to be anxious about, nothing to be worried about, nothing to be concerned about. We won't have to worry about what's going on in North Korea or Syria or the White House or Sacramento. We will be celebrating. And we will be serving our God. But one more thing. We're going to be celebrating and reigning with God. Now, we don't want to get a big head. It doesn't mean we're going to be reigning. God will be in charge. But we will be there with Him forever. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 5. There will be no night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. We will be reigning because we are victorious. Because we have won. Thanks be to God and the gift of His Son. Unlike my football friend, who didn't know the score until the game was over, we know what the score is going to be. God has already told us that. And what a victory He has promised us. Last Friday, about 5 o'clock, I got a call from Celeste, Larry Lang's daughter, who I talked to several times throughout Sherry's illness and Larry's illness as well. And she said to me, Roy, I just want to let you know that Dad passed away this afternoon. But there was a sense of peace in her voice. Because she knew what Larry had gone through. And we know what Larry had gone through since the passing of Sherry and the physical limitations that he'd had. And so after we hung up, I told her we would be praying for her. We'd let everyone know and how much we love Larry and Sherry both. But I was thinking, it's kind of ironic, in a sense, because Larry passed away on Friday the 13th. And you know, there are those who are very superstitious that think Friday the 13th is a day to dread, to worry about something bad happening. But for Larry Lang, Friday the 13th was the best day of his life. Because he left this place and received the reward that he lived for so long. The Christian victory. He received the reward of victory, the victor's crown and clothing in the victor's city. And he was rejoicing because of what is there. Sherry's there. God's there. His family there. His loved ones are there. And because of what is not there, no more pain, no more suffering. You know, Larry didn't have to play with the little blocks anymore, the little dominoes anymore, all those things that they had him try to use to help keep his small motor skills working since his stroke. Didn't have to do that anymore. He's celebrating and worshiping God and serving God and reigning with God because of the victory he has. And that's a victory we all have to look forward to when we too claim the promise that God has given us through Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and I can help you, we can help you do anything in your life to bring it more in line with the way God wants you to live, we're here to help you. Because that's what God wants us to do. So if we can help in any way, through prayers or through confession of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, being baptized with Him, we want to help you do that as well. So if we can in any way, we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.